Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to another beautiful morning where we get to praise our God for His grace here at St. Mark's Lutheran Church. This morning we're going to do that by kind of remembering what we talked about last week a little bit, where Jesus was talking about a servant-like attitude. Well, that kind of carries into this week, because now we're going to look at why. Why do we have a servant-like attitude? What's our focus ultimately in this life? That's the gospel. That is the good news of God's kingdom. That's bringing glory to Jesus' name. That's why we do what we do. So you'll see that throughout the service this morning as we meditate on that. We'll also be celebrating the Lord's Supper this morning, so prepare your minds and hearts to receive the body and blood of the Lord together. We'll begin our worship with hymn 234. Please note we'll sing verses 1, 3, and 5. God bless your worship this morning. Please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, asking Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness.
Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil, and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner.
God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us. And He's given His only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ, and by His authority, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Now in the peace of forgiveness, we're going to join together in hymn 777 in the Blue Songbook, so you may be seated for that. The Lord be with you. We pray. Mercifully grant, O God, that your Holy Spirit may in all things direct and rule our hearts. For without your help, we are unable to please you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. As we talk about focusing on God's kingdom and Jesus' name and on the gospel, there's something that can often get in the way, and that's jealousy and envy, and we see that in all three lessons today, especially here in Numbers 11. Moses had people who said, were almost jealous for him, but he gives a pretty good response, very God-focused response. Numbers chapter 11. The Lord said to Moses, "Bring me 70 of Israel's elders who are known to you as leaders and officials among the people. Have them come to the tent of meeting that they may stand there with you." So Moses went out and told the people what the Lord had said. He brought together 70 of their elders and had them stand around the tent. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke with him, and he took some of the power of the Spirit that was on him and put it on the 70 elders. When the Spirit rested on them, they prophesied, but did not do so again. However, two men, whose names were Eldad and Medad, had remained in the camp. They were listed among the elders, but did not go out to the tent. Yet the Spirit also rested on them, and they prophesied in the camp. A young man ran and told Moses, "Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp." Joshua, son of Nun, who had been Moses' aide since youth, spoke up and said, "Moses, my lord, stop them." But Moses replied, "Are you jealous for my sake? I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his Spirit on them." The word of the Lord. We now hear a song from the choir.
Thank you.
Singing loudest praise to God is certainly fitting for what Paul was going through. Even though he was in chains, Paul's focus was still on the gospel and the fact that Christ was preached. And because of that, he could rejoice. That's our second lesson from Philippians 1. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I'm in chains. But what does it matter? The most important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. The word of the Lord. Verse of the day reflects what we will all be doing someday. We'll all be praising the Lord, every single one of us on the last day. Alleluia, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Alleluia. Please stand in honor of the words of Jesus. The gospel for this morning comes from Mark chapter 9. This will also serve as the sermon text for today, from Mark chapter 9. Teacher, said John, we saw someone driving out demons in your name, and we told him to stop because he was not one of us. Do not stop him, Jesus said, for no one who does a miracle in my name can in the next moment say anything bad about me. For whoever is not against us is for us. Truly, I tell you, anyone who gives you a cup of water in my name because you belong to the Messiah will certainly not lose their reward. If anyone causes one of these little ones, those who believe in me, to stumble, it would be better for them if a large millstone were hung around their neck and they were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than with two hands to go into hell, where the fire never goes out. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than to have 2 feet and be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to stumble, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have 2 eyes and be thrown into hell, where the worms that eat them do not die and the fire is not quenched. Everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can you make it salty again? Have salt among yourselves and be at peace with each other. The Gospel of the Lord. We now give glory to Jesus' name by confessing our faith together publicly in the Nicene Creed.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
You may be seated for the hymn of the day, To God Be the Glory, number 399. God's grace and God's peace are given to you through Jesus, brothers and sisters. Amen. The sermon text for this morning comes from Mark chapter 9, the gospel lesson. Let's begin with prayer. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your peace. Amen. Do you taste that? It's like it's in the air. You ever go to the ocean and you have that saltwater mist that gets up in the air and you can smell it and you can kind of almost taste it? A lot of people like that, I hear, because it's one of those things that tells them, I'm at the ocean. But that's not the only time that salt tastes good, right? Raise your hand if you've got a salt and pepper shaker in your kitchen, on your dining room table. Yeah, absolutely. I am a terrible cook, like really bad. Everything I make is bland and tasteless, but toss a little salt on there and voila, meal is saved. It's a flavor to it again. Ugh. But salt doesn't just make things taste good. It's also used in purification. It's used for preserving food. Salt is good. So you can understand why Jesus uses it as a picture of the gospel and its effects in our lives. The gospel is something that makes you salty. Not like angry and grumpy, but the better kind of salty. It preserves you and it adds flavor to your life. So, how salty are you? Could you be saltier? I think you and I know that we are Christians who a lot of times can be pretty bland and tasteless in our Christian lives, and even worse. And especially that can affect the gospel. So Jesus this morning has an encouragement for us. He wants us to be salty in the gospel. He wants us to be focused on the gospel and don't let anything get in the way of it doing its thing. Not just in our lives, but also then it always affects those around us. The disciples found that out. They weren't having the saltiest chapter, you could say, Mark chapter 9. We mentioned some of it last week already, but they couldn't cast out a demon from a boy. Really confused about that. Jesus told them about his betrayal, his death, and his resurrection, and they didn't understand that, and they feared to ask him about it. They also were arguing about who was the greatest. And when Jesus sets them straight on having a Christ-like and servant-like attitude, it must have plucked the string of John's conscience, because he reveals another not-so-salty thing that they did. "Teacher, we saw someone driving out demons in your name, and we told him to stop, because he was not one of us." They actually saw a man driving out demons in Jesus' name. And they actually told him to stop. Why? Well, because he wasn't one of them. He was an unknown believer, or at least he valued Jesus' name. He didn't get it from them. And weren't they supposed to be the special ones with special instruction from Jesus? Weren't they supposed to be the special ones who were casting out demons? And not only could they not cast out demons, but now some unknown believer can? So it seems that in their jealousy, they told him to stop. What were the disciples really focused on? It wasn't the gospel. If they were focused on the gospel and the salt that it has, then they would have praised God that some man they didn't even know was giving glory to Jesus' name. He knew Jesus' name. He trusted in it. They would have been praising God for all the other people who would have recognized, wow, Jesus' name has some power. But they weren't focused on that. They were focused on themselves, and not in a good way. They wanted the attention. They wanted the glory. And that jealousy that they had was getting in the way of the gospel salt, not just in their lives, but now it was spreading out into others' lives. It'd be like you and I going to a mega church in our area and saying, "Hey, everyone, just stop preaching Jesus, okay? Because you're not a part of the Wells, all right? We're the ones who have the gospel saltiness. You just leave that to us." No, we know we would never do that. But we can still struggle with that specific sin of jealousy and envy we're looking at today. Can overtake our hearts, and we see their numbers, and we see their popularity among some people, and we just think, oh, why them and not us, right? And what are we focused on there? Ourselves and not the gospel. We don't just do it, though, outside of our circles. We also do it in our own circles. Maybe it's another Wells church, or maybe it's even within St. Mark's. We take our ego or our desire for recognition or whatever it may be above another church member. Instead of praising God that God is working through another church member, we're focused on ourselves. Jesus wants us to focus on the gospel. And he made that clear to the disciples. They weren't looking at Jesus' name. They were looking at their own. And so as they were stopping this man from casting out demons, Jesus tells them, "Do not stop him. For no one who does a miracle in my name can in the next moment say anything bad about me. For whoever is not against us is for us. Truly, I tell you, Anyone who gives you a cup of water in my name, because you belong to the Messiah, will certainly not lose their reward. Whoever is not against us is for us. Other Christians are not our enemies. God graciously associates with them. He's for them the same way he graciously associates with us. He's for us too. So who are we to get a little jealous at someone else's gospel work? And who are we to get a little jealous at even a cup of cold water or whatever it may be, any sort of small thing that's done in Jesus' name? Who are we to get jealous of that reward? That's grace on top of grace right there, and that's what we need to be focused on. And, you know, as we analyze others and criticize others, who should we really be focusing on then? In a good way? Ourselves. We should really be analyzing our own lives and how are we furthering the gospel or hindering the gospel. Jesus does what he always does, and he turns the argument on the disciples. If anyone causes one of these little ones, those who believe in me, to stumble, it would be better for them if a large millstone were hung around their neck and they were thrown into the sea. We need to be concerned first and foremost with, am I hindering the gospel in any way? Is my sin causing the gospel to lose its saltiness in somebody else's life or in my life? That's a serious thing, especially if it causes someone to stumble in their faith or even fall away. Jesus says it'd be better if you drown yourself in the depths of the sea before it ever even happened. We need to have that attitude of focusing on the gospel so much that I'd rather die than hinder this thing from doing its thing, than get in the way of that salt. Especially if it causes another Christian to stumble, especially if that Christian is like a little child, whether literally or spiritually. Our sin can get in the way, not just in their lives, but also in ours. And so we need to take a radical approach to get rid of it. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than with two hands and go into hell where the fire never goes out. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than to have 2 feet and be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to stumble, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have 2 eyes and be thrown into hell, where the worms that eat them do not die and the fire is not quenched. Is it really the hand or the foot or the eye that causes us to sin? No, because what about the other hand and the other foot and the other eye? Jesus isn't telling us here to dismember ourselves. He's using very heightened, strong language to show us that this is a serious issue. You need to take your sin seriously and get rid of it. Whatever causes you to sin, get rid of it. Is it a relationship that's causing you to stumble? Causing someone else to stumble? Is it a thing? Just some earthly thing? I don't know, a piece of technology or something? Is it a selfish ambition or some sort of sinful attitude that you are feeding and fostering in your heart? Is it something that you want to cling to? And good or bad, you don't want to let it go, but it's causing you to stumble. And yet in your heart, you're just like, I don't want to get rid of it. I like it too much. Besides, it's just a little sin. What's the big deal? Right? God forgives me. I know I'm going to heaven. I can have a little sin in this life. I'm not supposed to be perfect. I can't be, right? So why get rid of it? My precious. Right? You can see why Jesus tells us to cut that off. Get rid of it. Look at the rottenness. Forget salt. Talk about rottenness and decay. It spreads and spreads. We think, oh, I'll just stop at this sin and this sin. No, no, no. Keep spreading. Cut it off before it gets worse. Do what you got to do. Look at what it does. Look at how it deadens that salt in your life. And look, seriously look, at where it leads. Jesus stresses that big time here. Do you really want to cling to your sin all the way until hell? The torment of hell? Look, Jesus uses descriptions of hell from his current day there and then also in the Old Testament times. He calls it the unquenchable fire. And he uses the word for hell, Gehenna, in the Greek, which refers to the Valley of Hinnom, which is just the valley outside of Jerusalem. That's the valley where evil Old Testament kings would burn their children in the fire to pagan gods. That's the valley, thankfully, that good King Josiah eventually declared rightfully unclean. And that's the valley in Jesus' day where all the garbage from Jerusalem was brought and burned. There's a continual fire there, a fire that never goes out. The rottenness, the uncleanness, the fire, it's a pretty fitting description of hell for those who go there. Jesus also uses a quote from Isaiah and his description of hell. In verse 48, he says, "Where the worms that eat them do not die, and the fire is not quenched." It's a pretty gross picture. Worms eating a dead body? But imagine if that body wasn't dead. Ouch. Never ending, Isaiah and Jesus say. This is pain unimaginable. It is rottenness. It is unclean. Jesus stresses it over and over again. And how often do we forget these graphic pictures? How often do we soften them and get all cuddly with our sin, even though we know where that leads? Thankfully, Jesus saved us because we desperately needed that. You and I couldn't cut sin out. We couldn't. Hand, foot, eye, heart, mind. We'd have nothing left. And so Jesus cut it out for us. We were clinging to sin on the path to hell, and Jesus wrestled it away from us. He swallowed that rotten punishment, and he jumped into that inextinguishable fire in our place. You and I are forgiven. That's the gospel message. And the craziness of the gospel is that we're forgiven for every time we haven't honored the gospel message. That's God's grace. That's what Jesus does for us. He takes us from on a path to hell, and he 180, path to life, eternal life. Notice what he says. It is better to enter life. That's what you get to do. Because now you have peace with God. Because that salt of the gospel is in your hearts. He's purified you from that rottenness. The gospel is like salt. Can you imagine your life without the gospel? How bland and how boring it would be. The devil tries to sprinkle you with the moldy cheese of sin and shame, and God purifies you from all that and gives you flavor, gives you hope and forgiveness, peace with him. Can you imagine your faith without the gospel? The gospel is what keeps you connected to God, and so he keeps you connected to it in lots of different ways. It's a preservative. It keeps you in the faith. Can you imagine your relationships with others without the gospel? Think of all the jealousy and the hatred and the anger you'd have with each other, but guess what? No, there's flavor there. There's forgiveness. There's a joy that you get to share together in Jesus' name. There's peace that you have with each other that you can now then spread that salt around. Can you taste it? It's there. So now you know why Jesus says salt is good. But if it loses its saltiness, how can you make it salty again? Therefore, have salt in your among yourselves and be at peace with each other. When you do that, the gospel's able to do its thing, not just in your heart and in your life, but it also adds flavor to those around you. Can you taste it? I feel like I'm at the ocean right now. You're also salty. It's in the air. You think those in the rest of Citrus Heights can taste it? In Roseville, in Rockland, Fair Oaks, Carmichael, Folsom, El Dorado Hills, can they taste it? Oh yeah, salt is good. Have salt among yourselves. Let the gospel make you salty. Amen. Please stand. May the peace of the gospel guard your minds and your hearts through faith in Jesus. Amen. We now respond to God's word by singing a short song on page 9. Be seated for the offering. Just a quick note before we get to the prayer of the church and to the sacrament. If for any of you who desire or need gluten-free wafers, you're going to be noticing there's a little bit of a change. There's going to be a dish within the dish. And so you will yourself will grab it from the smaller dish. Those will be the gluten-free wafers. Okay? That way there's no cross-contamination for those. Thank you. In the prayer of the church this morning, we're going to pray with our minds and hearts on Ed and Bev Heinitz, David Haugen, along with all of those who are facing health challenges. We'll include a prayer for those with celebrating birthdays and anniversaries, and also a prayer for, we'll think with the family of Kyle. Maybe you saw that in the emails going around. It's the friend of the Arms family. We're going to pray for his family as well. We pray the prayer of the church in one mind, one heart, and then join together in the Lord's Prayer after that. Almighty God of heaven and earth, your name is glorious, and your gospel is life-giving. Guide our hearts to ever work with the gospel as our focus. Use us to show the glory of your name to others, and purify us from our sins so that we can continue to hold up your Son Jesus for all to see in all we do. God of all mercy, please hold the glory of your resurrected Son before the eyes of all who are faced with the weight of health challenges and family losses. In their difficulties, let your power and presence give them strength. As you're with us in the difficult times, you also give us joyous times as well. We praise you for the joy of those celebrating birthdays this week. Renew in them this week the salt of your gospel that they may continue to glorify you. Continue also to show your grace to all who are celebrating a wedding anniversary. Allow them to rejoice all the more in your love, in Jesus, and preservation through the Holy Spirit. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus, our Savior, who also taught us to pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Please stand for the sacrament. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good and right that we should at all times and in all places give you thanks, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who promised that wherever two or three come together in his name, there he is with them to shepherd his flock till he comes again in glory. Therefore, with all the saints on earth and hosts of heaven, we praise your holy name and join their glorious song. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen. Well, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. O God, the Father, source of all goodness, in Your loving kindness You sent Your Son to share our humanity. We thank You that through Him You have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. We also pray that You will not forsake us, but will rule our hearts and minds by Your Holy Spirit, so that we willingly serve You day after day. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with You and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. You may be seated for hymn number 318 from the Red Songbooks. I love to tell the story.
Thank you.
Thank you for being smart and noticing the board, the number on the board, and not on the bulletin. Sorry, I missed that one. Good morning. It's a pleasure worshiping with God with you, of course, as always. Glory to Jesus' name. Please stick around for Bible study and Sunday school. The theme of the service kind of had almost an evangelism idea of giving glory to the gospel. We're going to talk about that today in Bible study right here in the sanctuary, so please stick around for that. A few notes for this coming week and this coming month and beyond. There's a memorial service today for Kathleen Getty at 4 p.m. It's going to be in here. There's a fall hoedown coming up on Friday evening for the school. So everyone's invited to that, by the way. Everyone in the whole church can come to that, and I think there's competitions for food and whatnot. There's sign-ups, I believe, in the back. So if you have any questions, let us know or anybody else from the school. Fall hoedown, and bring your cowboy boots if you got them. Painted Cork event, second annual. Here it was a lot of fun last time. The ladies had a blast. It's sign up in the back of the lobby. That's October 14th. October 14th. On October 21st, a week later, we're going to have a very special service. So just to let you know, and if you know of anybody who might be interested in this, Jesus Cares Ministry will be here. Joel Gertner, who kind of helps run that a little bit for the Wells and part of the Lutheran Home Association, is going to lead a very special service for us. Jesus Cares Ministry is a special needs ministry. So it's going to be a kind of a service that reflects what we do or what they do and what we're thinking of doing here at St. Mark's for a Jesus Cares Ministry. So keep that in mind, October 21st coming up. He'll also give a presentation on that awesome ministry too. Trunk or Treat is 5 days after that, October 26th, Friday. There's a sign up in the back if you want to decorate a trunk. It's a nice opportunity. Outreach opportunity for us to rub some elbows with people from the congregation and kind of share the love of Jesus. So, Trunk or Treat, October 26th, sign up in the back. We have our next quarterly potluck at the end of the month, last Sunday of October, October 28th. That will also be for the new members, too, to kind of help receive them. There's going to be a little bit of an orientation. So if you are a new member, in the last year, actually, we're going to do this once a year now. This is going to be the first one. Once a year, we'll have a little new member orientation after the quarterly potluck. So if you have been here for a long time, show off your recipes, all right, in that potluck. I know I'm excited for it. October 28th. And yes, the next week, right after that, we're going to have another potluck because it's the Reformation service. That's going to be at 4 p.m. on November 4th, so mark your calendars for that. So we'll get nice and full for a while here and get our stomachs ready for Thanksgiving, I think. So November 4th, Reformation service. All the other announcements you can find in the weekly update, so please check that out. May God continue to bless you this week as you tell the story of Jesus' name. Amen, and may God, you can stick around to greet one another too. Have a good week.